on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can you hear a pitter-pat? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on the rail, but I'm not afraid. This rover.
It all comes down to this roll. Roy Munson, a man-child, with a dream to topple bowling giant Ernie McCracken. If he strikes, he's the 1979 Odor Eaters champion. He's got one foot in the frying pan and one in the pressure cooker. Believe me, as a bowler, I know that right about now, your bladder feels like an overstuffed vacuum cleaner bag, and your butt is kind of like an about-to-explode bratwurst.
Hey, do you mind? I wasn't talking when you were bowling.
Was I talking out loud?
Crossed over.
What is that from?
Kingpin.
I need to watch that again.
Oh, yes, you do.
No, seriously, I remember so little about it. I remember his hand came off when he threw the ball.
Yeah, Roy, that's Woody Harrelson, Roy Munson.
And he sat on the, and Randy Quaid sat on the urinal.
Oh, that's right.
How'd it go, number two?
Yes.
I really do need to see it again. Welcome to the Lars Morning Show in the afternoon, everybody. We're going to start off with something entirely different than we normally do. And let me set the stage for this. And I feel sorry for the people who don't hear what we're about to do. I have a lady on the phone, and I'm going to get to her in a minute. And she's holding patiently. And, Joan, I appreciate that. We'll get to you in a minute. When I decided to do this today, I thought, well, do I name the person? We'll just go with a first name, Joan. Do I mention where she works? And I just kind of decided this last minute or so that maybe it's irrelevant, and maybe I don't know. We'll just play it by ear as we go along. But here's the point of what we're about to do. Every one of us, if you're normal, goes through times and periods where you think, why me? Why this? I'm having a rotten day. I'm having a rotten year. Why did I lose my job? Blah, 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 blah. And then sometimes you accidentally stumble on a story, as I did this story. And I don't know how long the effect will last with me. I hope it lasts for a long time, because ever since I found out about what happened to this lady, it has bothered me. And it has bothered me from the standpoint that when people say you just never know what's in store, you don't know one second to the next what's going to happen, and things can change your life. This is the perfect example of that. So let me bring Joan on there. Joan, it's Frank. Are you there?
Hi, Frank. Yes, I'm here.
All right,
thank
you. First of all, thank you for agreeing to talk with me. Now let me set this up by saying that it was about a week and a half ago, I was in, and I'll just say First Community Credit Union, and you work at the reception desk there in Chesterfield.
And, that's correct.
And I noticed that I had not seen you there, because I go in, unlike most customers, and you've seen me coming in and out there. I'm there two or three times a week. I come in there. I didn't just break a 20. I just like to go in because I like all of you, and it's a good place to go. And hey, they got great popcorn. So it occurred to me, it didn't really register, but it sort of did, that I haven't seen Joan for a while. And then I saw you, and that's what triggered in my mind that, wow, there she is. Now I realize I haven't seen her for months. And I noticed something different about you. I noticed that you had a patch on your eye. And that's really all I knew. And I'm not the kind of person to say, hey, what happened to your eye? I don't do that. But while I was standing there, I heard you say to somebody something about blah, 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 the car wreck, the crash. And then once I heard you say that to somebody, if you remember, I walked up to you and I said, what? What car crash? And
I remember.
And you proceeded to tell me. Now, here's what I'd like to do. Let's go to the very beginning here. And the whole point of this is just to remind people that, and I've heard people say, and I said this to you earlier today on the phone when we talked, I've heard people say, well, there's a reason for everything that happened. Everything has a reason. I don't know that I always believe that, but sometimes I guess maybe there wasn't a reason it happened, but maybe because it happened, certain other things come from it that are good. Take us back to, I will tell people this, you were in one of the most unbelievable accidents that I've ever heard of in my life, and it didn't involve another vehicle. It was just you and something that came through your windshield. Take me to, let's start with the date. When did this happen?
This happened January 8th of this year.
What time of day?
And it was, I left First Community at 12:30, and I got onto Highway 40, traveling east, to get on Highway 270, traveling south, to visit my mother in assisted living, 87 years old. She lives in assisted living in Kirkwood.
Okay, so
and she knew I was coming.
That's about what time of day?
It was exactly 1 o'clock.
Okay, what was the weather?
The weather was a beautiful day. I had on a winter coat but didn't need it.
Okay.
It was just a beautiful sunny day.
Now, before you tell people what happened, where exactly on the highway about were you?
Mile marker 11.
And this, again, is on Highway Interstate?
270 southbound.
So for people who don't know, where is mile marker 11? 270 near what?
Just before Manchester.
Okay, I know it well. It's right down the street from us here.
Yes.
Okay, what happened?
Well, I was in the middle lane, which is where I'm comfortable driving, and all of a sudden I saw nothing. I just heard a pop. I didn't feel anything, just heard a pop. I must have blacked out for just momentarily because I was heading straight for the concrete median. And I was able to see that I was doing that, pull myself to the right-hand side, and I tried doing a head check, following the rules, trying to do a head check, but I could see nothing. I, at that time, didn't know I was bleeding and that how severe I was injured. And all I could do was put on my blinker, and I just went to get to the shoulder on the right-hand side, still not knowing what happened to me. And there were a lot of cars honking. I hit nobody, pulled over at mile marker 11.8, I believe it was, and tried dialing 911 from my cell phone. I had to find it in my purse. But I did that twice, and I could not remember to press the send button. So I hung out the window, and I was bleeding profusely and trying to flag somebody down, and it just seemed like forever before somebody stopped. And then finally, these two gentlemen in a pickup truck pulled over, came running back, went back to their truck and got a clean towel and put pressure to my face, still not knowing what happened. I knew I was bleeding. And I heard them saying, what happened? What happened? Is there another car? Why is she bleeding? And
let me stop you and ask you this.
Yeah.
At this moment, at this point, when they walk up, what's the condition of your car?
Fine, normal, nothing except, and I didn't even see, I had a hole in my windshield, but I did not see that until they mentioned it to me.
So nothing is damaged, which had to be perplexing to them, but there's a hole in your windshield.
There's a hole in my windshield.
How big a hole?
I believe it measured maybe 4 to 5 inches in diameter.
Okay.
And I remember looking at it when they pointed to it, and it seemed to me like a beautiful crystal tulip.
Okay.
Because of the safety film on both sides.
Right, and the way it cracks.
But, Yeah.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden they said, what happened? There it is. It's in her back seat. Apparently a hook about 5 to 6 inches in diameter, I believe is what it was, that is commonly attached to, like, tow trucks, a tow chain, a flatbed that holds down, big construction equipment. It was a hook.
Yeah, and I can visualize, look, I've seen them, and we've all seen them. It's a metal hook, usually on a chain, like you would pick a car up with, and it's a significant hook. This is a 5-10 pound thing.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And this came through the windshield of your car.
Correct. And I did not know that until they had found it.
Wow.
So I was perplexed as far as why I was injured. But these gentlemen were very nice.
Okay. What did they do?
They called 911, and they got there so fast. And the emergency crew just took wonderful care of me. And got me to Mercy, which is a trauma hospital, and I was entered as a trauma victim, and I was in Mercy Hospital for about 6 days. They say I went into respiratory arrest because my lungs and my stomach filled up with blood, and they were able to get a hold of my son. They couldn't find my phone in the car, but I kept a paper phone book in my purse, and it has phone numbers in it, including children, family, and my son,
right,
who is 24. He got the call.
What did they say to him when they
called? They said to him, they just asked him, they wouldn't tell him much, they just asked if he was related to a Joan Drews, and he said, yes, that's my mother. And they said, well, we need you to come to Mercy Hospital as soon as possible. She's been in an accident. Well, he was leaving school at that time, and he called his father and then his other sister. And it was my oldest daughter that was able to call the hospital to find out what kind of accident. She was persistent and asked the nurse what kind of accident, and they said it was some kind of a hook from a tow truck is what they assumed, just to give her the description.
Which causes everybody's minds to start wondering, what? From where? How?
And by the way, I saw nothing.
To this day, you nor anybody else knows where that hook came from.
That's correct.
Unbelievable.
Mm.
Now, this is not a lightweight thing. This is a heavy metal hook that came through the windshield of your car.
That's correct.
And nobody saw. Nobody that was on the road at that time ever came forward and said, I saw it fly off of whatever. Nothing.
Correct. That is correct.
Now, tell them what that hook, which obviously came right through the windshield of your car and hit you in the head, which I have to tell you, John, this is just unbelievable to me that you're even alive. Tell them what it did to you.
Well, it hit my right eye socket. Completely demolished all the bone, and pieces were so tiny for that eye socket and cheekbone that it was like a jigsaw puzzle, they said, to put me back together.
Now you lost your eye.
I am blind in that eye permanently, yes.
Right. How many surgeries have you had?
I just last Thursday had my second surgery. The first surgery was just to put me together after the accident, and this surgery just past Thursday was reconstruction to make the eye socket look better. It sat down and back too far.
So this hook literally just smashes the right side of your skull.
That's correct. And the doctor said, I am lucky that I am alive, because had it gone an inch to my left, I would have had brain damage. An inch to my right would have definitely been death.
Wow.
I don't know how you didn't bleed to death. You know, if somebody comes on an accident victim, and I get that if your arm is mangled, you put on a tourniquet and you stop. But when the half of somebody's head has been smashed by a hook, how did they manage to keep you from bleeding to death?
The two gentlemen, the Good Samaritans, just held such tight pressure on my face that when the emergency crew got there, they took over, and again, the pressure on the face and wrapping it up, and then they put me on the backboard, and then they got me to the hospital so quickly.
How many more surgeries do they say you may be looking at? Because you're looking at several different surgeries. You have plastic surgery, obviously. You have reconstructive surgery, and there's a name for that, maxillofacial, uscial, whatever it is. But
correct.
There are people who are experts in reconstructing the skull. What do they tell you at this point you're looking at down the road?
They're not sure down the road. What they did Thursday was the reconstruction that they felt that was all they were going to be able to get, and I haven't seen that yet. I've got a big patch that I cannot take off yet. But I will face some injections of some of my own body fat into the cheek area where the fat just dried up from the trauma.
By the way, if they will accept fat donors, I have plenty.
Yeah. I think you can get some from all of us.
Oh, yeah.
I have more than enough. And maybe that'll be my whole reason for being living is that I was supposed to be heavy so that I could donate fat.
A fat donor.
A fat donor, exactly. Isn't it too bad we
can't
do
that? Thank you, Frank.
Well, I'm here for you if you need some fat injections. Now, and, you know, I before I called you, I thought, what can we possibly say that'll be light and funny? Whew, I think we just thought of it, a fat donor. But you I don't know you, okay, but I'm going to tell you a little bit about something that I do know, and that is that I have an incredible ability to read people. And if you ask my wife, she'll tell you that my track record is about 98%. When I zero in on somebody, I can pretty much tell you this person is a scumbag, this person is a decent person, this person's lost, this person is confused, they're not going to be married long, they're going to be together forever. I'm pretty good about it. And I don't really know you at all. I've spoken to you when I walked in, but I'm going to tell you something. I admire you, and I think my feeling about you is that you're a special person, and you're going to deal with this in a way that I don't think I could. I'd like to think I could, but I don't know that I could. And there's something about you. Look, I've seen, like everybody in my life, injured people. I've seen people with deformities. I don't just stop and go, I got to find out what happened here. But for some reason with you, I wanted to find out exactly what happened. And I kind of wanted to follow this story. And I think you're going to be so much better than you even know you're going to be when this is all over. I really believe that. And I'm pretty good about this stuff. Now, you're a woman, and in this, it's not fair, but we live in a world where we put a lot of emphasis on looks and the way women look, and it has to be pretty devastating because you're a nice-looking woman.
Thank you.
I'm assuming they've told you, and you know, they can work miracles with plastic surgery, that you,
yes,
from that standpoint, are probably going to end up in pretty good shape.
I hope so.
What do they tell you they'll be able to do with regard to the scarring?
With the scarring, just the fat injections to be able to raise the scars where they're not so indented. But from what I understand, unless there will be more surgeries available to me, that a lot will depend on me, I think, for makeup.
Yeah.
They took out one of the titanium plates in my eyebrow because I just didn't like the way it stuck out. And he said, I want you to know that you will have a scar from that. And that's at my eyebrow. And I said, well, that's okay. You know, there's makeup. We can cover that up with makeup.
Yeah.
But the scar on my cheekbone is pretty deep. And we're just going to have to see in time.
Now, will they Have they talked about, will they fit you with a prosthetic eye?
Yes, they want, there is still blood flow to the eye, but the retina was completely destroyed, just shredded.
Yeah.
So there's no repair for that. So they are going to put a prosthetic cap on the eye, which is just like a large contact that covers the whole colored part of the eye that will be hand-painted to look like my other eye.
Will it move?
My eye does move, yes, with the other eye.
Really?
Yes. It, wow, it's painful right now. But,
no, but I mean when they finish with this prosthetic eye, will it move in conjunction with your
yes.
other eye?
Yes, it will be attached to the eyeball
wow.
itself.
That's amazing.
Just like a contact. You know, only this one I wouldn't take on and off every day. I'd go in so many times a year to have it removed, cleaned, and then reattached.
When this, after this happened, I mean, you had to just go home and look, I don't care how strong anybody is. You look in the mirror and you just had to go, what the heck? I mean, why?
I'll be honest with you, Frank. I couldn't look in a mirror for quite some time.
Yeah.
It took me quite a while.
Well, I wish you the very best. I don't like a lot of people who say, well, you know, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say, except that I'm so glad you told the story, because sometimes you hear a story second or third hand, you don't get the whole story. There's parts that are exaggerated, parts that are downplayed, and I wanted to hear, and this is the first time I've actually heard the story. I spoke to you briefly about it. I called you today and said, look, will you tell us? And I'm glad I heard it. And it's a reminder to all of us that on what is otherwise a perfect day, and everything and the stars are aligned and everything's great, in a second, everything changes. And what's even more frustrating here, and I don't know, maybe in some ways it's good, there's nobody to be mad at or to blame because you don't know where the hook came from.
That's correct. And I'm not going to say that I don't get mad at times, but then I rethink and it's an accident.
Yeah.
You know, there's highway debris all over the place, and we just have to be cautious and teach our teenage children, especially, no texting and driving. You know, pay attention.
That sounds good, but we've talked about this a lot. It takes life and years and experience
yes.
to get it. You can talk until, as my mother used to say, you're blue in the face, and it
yes.
does no good. Yesterday, so what's today? Tuesday. No, Sunday, driving back down Interstate 70, there was a person in a car in front of me in the left lane, in the passing lane, crawling along about 50. I flashed my lights. I blew my horn for him to get over so I could go on and pass. Nothing. When I finally was able to go around on the right side, I looked over. It was a young girl texting like mad. She was oblivious to what was around her. She didn't see me behind her. She texting like crazy. That is a recipe for disaster.
That's correct, yes.
And in your case, we can't blame anybody texting.
No.
We can't blame
no.
a negligent driver or company. How a hook flies up from nowhere and goes through a windshield is beyond me. I that is just unbelievable to me. I thank you for telling the story, and I wish
thank
you the best.
You.
I will see you soon. I understand you're yes. back at work next week.
I'm hoping. Well, that's what I'm shooting for.
I will see you there.
Okay.
All
thank
right,
you very much, Frank.
Thank
Have
you.
A great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A metal hook, like a tow hook. 5 to 10 pounds.
And it could have fallen off a tow truck, and it could have been hit
no,
by a
there
truck
was no,
or anything.
But there was no nothing around. Nobody saw anything. It's
I mean,
a
yeah,
mystery.
It could have Where? Been for... It could have been there for days.
It could have
almost,
been laying there
maybe.
On the highway.
But how does something that big get kicked up? I can understand a rock. How does a hook...
Somebody runs it over to, it in front of you, and his back tire kicks it up.
Right in the,
just the,
in
right,
the right,
way.
Right spot. Yeah.
And one way, I mean, it's
or
hard
it did,
to say.
Or it did come off a chain on a truck that nobody noticed.
Yep.
By the time anybody knew what happened, that truck's a mile down the road.
Oh, yeah. And she didn't even realize it. She didn't even know what happened. She was like,
well, that's what's amazing,
it happens
too.
In a blink of an eye.
You,
sure.
Half your skull is crushed.
Yeah.
Your eye's destroyed. There's blood everywhere. And you don't even know.
What happened?
You know, what happened? I mean... I guess you realize you can sort of not see well. You got one eye and not the other eye, but you just attribute that, I guess, to I don't know.
But it sounded like she was just in a complete haze and dazed. And
I can't
everything.
Believe she's alive. I just cannot believe she didn't bleed to death. The one thing I meant to ask her, did she get the names of those two guys? I should have asked her that.
I thought she was going to say a deer went through her windshield because that happened one time down there on Highway 40, right? That lady got killed when the deer...
Metal hook ended up in the back seat of her car.
Man.
Do me a favor. Call her back on the break. I'll break. We'll take some other phone calls. Okay. Just call and ask her if she got the names of those two. I'm just curious. I don't need their names.
Okay.
I just wonder if she knew who they were. I got to think she does.
Yeah.
Because they had to stay with her, and I'm sure the paramedics and the police took a name. Well, there you go. There's the lesson. You never know. In a second, I'm telling you, when I saw her like 10 days ago, this has stuck with me, and I can't explain why. But now when I'm in the car, every day since I heard this, I'm looking out the windshield just thinking, and you know what I saw?
I don't think it'll matter. I mean,
even if you saw something coming at you.
There's nothing you could do. But going out west this last weekend on 70, I saw not one or two, but five of these big chunks of rubber that come off these tires, these truck tires, these retread chunks. And I saw one car swerve to miss hitting it. It's a significant piece of rubber. That's the kind of thing that flies up, and you're the guy behind them.
I've seen videos, too, from dash cams of 2x4s coming through windshields.
See, this is where a dash cam would have been great, because you never know. Maybe it would have captured what nobody else saw.
Yeah.
Because think about it. By the time the hook comes to the windshield, by the time she realizes, oh, my goodness, pull over, all that happens in a matter of seconds. But in seconds, the truck it came off of is down the road.
Right.
It's gone. And that's where a dash cam would have been handy. We're going to take a break and come back. We'll take your calls. 314-969-KTRS. Toll free, 888-550-KTRS. Give us just a couple minutes to get caught up here. Mark Reardon and Jason Becker are with Stifel Nicolaus. They are financial advisors. It's a good idea to get financial advice. I took my first financial advice when I was in my late 20s. Didn't have any money. Didn't have a $25,000 or more to go to a Mark Reardon or Jason Becker, but I knew I had $40 a month that I could kick into something. So that was our very first form of planning financially, and it was because of the advice of a guy whose name I still remember. I'm sure he's long retired, or maybe he's dead, but he said, if you'll just put $40 a month away, here's what we'll put it in, and one of these days you'll pull it out, and whoo, look at there, how much money it is. And years ago, we cashed it out, and it was several thousand dollars that all started with 40 a month. Now, let's go to the next level. You have $25,000 or more. Wouldn't you like for that sum, that total, to be much more than $25,000? I think you would. I think everybody would. But most of us need help with that. That's where Mark and Jason come in. So the way it works is you set up a meeting with them. And I think it'll go well. If you don't think it went well, then that's it. You're out nothing but an hour or whatever time the meeting took. But I think what you're going to find, even if you have a financial advisor, is you're going to like what they have to say. Starts with you. Here's the website, markandjason.com.
And we're going to get a look at traffic right now, see how things are rolling. Here's Tim Weiland.
All right, we kind of have a mess out there. We've got the exit ramp shut down from westbound 70 at 170 due to an accident that's on the ramp. We just got word of an accident at Highway at Frost and 170. Also, Big Bend just west of Highway 44, we've got a crash. We've got a disabled vehicle on eastbound 70 at Air Flight blocking the left lane. Other than that, we just have some volume that's starting to flow on southbound 270 between Manchester and Doherty Ferry. Westbound 40 still looks pretty good. Westbound 70, you do have some heavier traffic now, 370 through Mid Rivers Mall Drive. And this traffic report is brought to you by Sonic. Crunchy, meat juicy, juicy, meat crunchy. Super, the new Super Crunch chicken strips at Sonic. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Here's what you missed on the Carney Show.
Breakfast sandwich out of the freezer, wrapped it in a paper towel, popped it in the microwave. But by the time I finished it, I realized I had eaten at least 4 bites of paper towel. I didn't even notice. These things are crap. Oh, that doesn't say much for the sandwich.
The Carney Show, weekdays from 1 p.m. till 3 on the Big 550 KTRS, live and local.
This is Bob Ellman at Golden Oak Lending. History tells us these low mortgage rates can't last. As the economy improves, they will go up.
But they're low today, and Golden Oak Lending can lower your rate to 3.25%.
What about credit cards? Are you paying 10% interest and more? It's time to stop.
Refinance and get cash to pay down your debt. Call Golden Oak at 314-567-GOLD.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
NMLS 1149.37, 15-year fixed rate, APR 3.782 with qualified credit. 111 West Ford Plaza, St. Louis, Missouri, 63146.
Good news! The housing market is on the increase, and Golden Oak's mortgage rates are still at historic lows.
Use your home's new equity to pay down credit cards.
Call Golden Oak. We underwrite our own loans. We're FHA and VA approved, and we can help you purchase a home.
Lower your rate to 3.25%. Call Golden Oak, 567-GOLD.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
There are neighborhoods in St. Louis that stand out above the rest, but none like the traditionally charming yet progressive community known as Webster Groves. Trees and flowers frame the beauty of this neighborhood, the friendliest shopping and dining destination in the area.
When it comes to protecting your family's assets, experience counts. The Elder and Estate Planning Law Firm specializes in estate planning, Medicaid planning, and elder law. You can trust the Elder and Estate Planning Law Firm for your wills, trusts, powers of attorney, long-term care planning, qualifying for VA benefits, asset protection, and more, all at low flat fee pricing and free initial consultation. The Elder and Estate Planning Law Firm. For more, go to stlelderlaw.com.
Discover all of these treasures and more. They're just steps away from your car in Webster Groves, where you'll meet the nicest shopkeepers and business owners in the county. You can do more than you imagine in Webster Groves. For full details, go to webstergroves.org.
Vacation, our most valuable time. As time goes by and we look back, it's the vacation adventures that bring family memories in the common focus. And what better way to create those memories than to experience the real America in an RV? It's the journey, not the destination, that brings the family together. Hello, I'm Russ Patton. For over 50 years, Byerly has been outfitting families for RV travel. From camping trailers to motorhomes, Byerly in Eureka is the place to come. Acres of RVs, the area's largest parts store, and service bays that reach to the sky. Byerly promises the highest value for the lowest price.
For the rest of your life.
Byerly Trailer.
For the rest of your life.
Byerly Trailer.
Rediscover your family. Show them you care.
For the rest of your life. You gotta be there.
Byerly, just 15 minutes west of I-270 on I-44 in Eureka.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Then why not head out to Washington, Missouri for their annual Fall Festival and German Strassenfest, where you'll find beer on tap, handmade artisans, live music, and more. On Friday, it's the annual chili cook-off, and on Saturday and Sunday, it's their Fall Festival with drinks, entertainment, and more from 10 to 6 on Saturday and 10 to 4 on Sunday. For more, head over to downtownwashmo.org or find them on Facebook at Downtown Washington, Inc.
George Weber, the best-selling car in St. Louis and Southern Illinois, Chevrolet. The best-selling truck in St. Louis and Southern Illinois, Chevrolet. The best-selling Chevy dealer in St. Louis and Southern Illinois, Weber Chevrolet. Why? The best selection and the best deals. Like a 2013 Equinox LS for just $21,900 after factory rebate, with no gimmicks, no asterisks, and no restrictions. Everyone qualifies. Only at Weber Chevrolet. Check us out at WeberChevrolet.com. Chevrolet, find new roads.
Oh, man, what is that smell?
Oh, I just opened the lettuce crisper.
We have a lettuce crisper?
Everything gets old, even your shocks. So make sure you change your worn shocks at 50,000 miles.
What are you doing? Put the top back on! Put the top back on!
I think it's moving.
Actual mileage may vary depending on driver ability, vehicle type, and the type of driving and road conditions. Purchase four qualifying Monroe shocks or struts between now and October 31st and get the price of the lowest cost unit back by mail-in offer. Restrictions apply. Learn more at Monroe.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Lapidus, the retirement coach. If you want to make smart choices about your retirement planning, listen to my show, Straight Talk on Retirement, this Saturday at 10 a.m. here on the Big 550 KTRS.
I've heard people say
that.
too much of anything is not good for you, baby.
That's not true. All right, we're getting right to the phones here. Real quickly, an update. We just called Joan back. And this is very interesting. She has no idea who the two guys are who saved her life. Isn't that great? Isn't it great that these two guys, and whoever you are out there, in case you're listening, whether you realize it or not, maybe you don't, you saved this woman's life and then handed her off to the paramedics and just went on your way. That is heroic. It really is. And unselfish, because a lot of people would hang around here. You need my name. You know, they know down the road there may be some kind of credit for, not these two. So whoever you are, thank you for saving her life. Rich is here. Hello, Rich.
Hello, gang. I am in the PM.
Thank you.
Hey, Rich.
Hallelujah. What's up?
Well, I was just going to try to shed a little bit of light on where this hook may have come from.
Well, before you do that, I'm sure that lots of police officers and MoDOT and a lot of people have tried to figure this out. But go ahead. What's your theory?
Well, I'm sure they are.
And insurance companies.
Yeah, probably. But, you know, the assumption is that it either came off of a tow truck or a tractor trailer.
Or it was kicked up off the road where it had just been laying there.
Right, but still the assumption is going to be that it came off of a tow truck or a tractor trailer. It was laying in the road for a day, 5 minutes.
Okay.
Or she was in the middle lane. It may have come off of a truck that was going the opposite direction.
Correct.
I'm trying to think right at that particular spot. I think all it is a concrete wall between the east and westbound lanes of traffic.
So right. No, you're right, and that's something I didn't think of. It could have been going the other direction. That's a great point.
But, you know, and I'm not going to try to persuade anybody to think that it did not come off of a big truck or a tow truck. Now, me as a truck driver, I know how well we are regulated as an industry and how.
Okay, but I know where you're headed here. We're not. There's no need to even defend truckers. There's no accusation that any trucker did anything wrong here. But it didn't come. Come off of a Fiat. We know that.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. That, you know. But what I'm going to get at is, I know how well the trucking industry is regulated when it comes to our equipment and the equipment that we use to secure a load on a flatbed with our chains, our binders, our straps, and all that stuff. We have to inspect that stuff constantly to make sure that we are not going to be ticketed to put out of service because it's defective. But however, and there's always a however
in life,
when it comes to Joe Sixpack down the street who's got a little 14-foot utility trailer and a landscape company, he puts a bobcat on that thing,
right?
And he might throw one strap that doesn't even have a weight rating to secure that thing correctly, or a couple chains and they're loose, and this thing is shifting back and forth and beating on them chains and warping the pins and the links. Those guys are not regulated the same way that we are. And as a general rule, most law enforcement, when they see that, they won't stop him.
All right, but Rich, it's no different than these people I see with rental trailers. It's a U-Haul or Ryder. They don't know how to haul anything. They don't know how to pull a trailer. We don't even know that they got the thing attached right on the ball. There's no regulation for that stuff either, and maybe there ought to be, but it's all speculative at this point. I mean, we could have come up with 100 different possibilities. But I get your point.
But the reason I was, you know, saying this is, and until I started driving 20 something years ago, I was guilty of this myself. I would throw stuff in the back of a pickup truck or something, a little piece of kite string maybe to hold it down, think, oh, it's not going to go anywhere. But people in general do not realize, I've actually seen recliners become airborne and lift up out of the back of a pickup truck and scatter all over the highway just because of the air that's moving around them at highway speed.
Right.
You know, people just don't realize how easy it is for stuff to fall out of their vehicle or fall off of their vehicle. They think they've got it tied down good enough, and it's not. Or they think, oh, well, this chain, I know I need to get rid of it. It's only got a couple more uses left. The clevis pin is bent, and the cotter pin to keep the pin in the chain, it's half broke, but it'll be good enough for just one more trip, and they lose that stuff off on the ground, and whether it goes sliding across the highway, catches a crack the right way, and goes airborne, kind of like a hockey puck on a skating rink, or it's been laying there for a while and somebody else hits it and shoots it across the highway where it hits the center wall and comes bouncing back airborne into the flow of traffic. You know, these are the things that that we all need to think about before we go down the highway pulling our boats, our utility trailers with our four bikes, ATVs on them, our jet skis.
Rich.
We really, all of us need to think twice, you know, do I have this done right? So that something like what happened to this lady, and I apologize, I've already forgot her name. I'm just amazed, like you, that she's still alive after that.
I got a bunch of other calls waiting here. Thank you, Rich. I appreciate it. Okay?
Thanks.
All right, thank you. I got to get to a couple of these. This is Jim. Hello, Jim.
Hello, AM and the PM, all of you.
Thank you.
Years ago, when I used to run the Concrete Seas of America, I was up in Canada on 401. It's like an interstate highway, sort of up there.
Okay.
I'm going eastbound, and there's a Ford station wagon. This was in the early 70s. Ford had problems with their axles coming out. I'm going eastbound daytime, and all at once I see this Ford station wagon kind of swerving, and I see this axle with tire and everything coming out of the back end of the station wagon and rolling down the road, and it hits the median. It was like a ditch, a 5-foot ditch between the highway,
mm-hmm.
and flies in the air, and I'm ducking in my tractor trailer. You know, I said, that sucker is coming right in my windshield, and it went right over the top of my tractor trailer out into the field on the right-hand side of me.
Ugh.
And I would have never thought it would have done it. But, I mean, you had to be there.
And
you know,
them
days we didn't have cameras or nothing.
A few different feet or inches one way or the other, and you might not be talking to us today.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Or if it was the car was going a little slower, it wouldn't have got the elevation.
No.
You know?
Yeah, I don't like seeing an axle coming at me.
No.
That's
no, not with a tire and everything on it.
No.
I mean, you don't know what to do, you know?
No.
I didn't freeze.
Well, there's nothing you can do because
if
you move it that one way, that may be the way it's going to go. There's nothing you can do. Your car may be the wrong
car. With the axle on it, was wobbling.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Jim, thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Jim number two. Now, hello, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Frank. I'm AM and PM.
Thank
How are you?
Thank you. Good.
Hallelujah. Hey, I banked at First Community there, and I ran into that nice lady probably maybe 2 months ago, 3 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you. I mean, when I first saw her, I thought maybe she had a corneal transplant because
right.
she had a little fake eyelash on her bandage over her head. And, of course, I asked, I said, did you just have surgery? And then she went through the story, and I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that I was just amazed that, first of all, she's a pleasant lady to begin with.
Right.
And, like I said, you know, most people walk through life ticked off, finding some reason to be mad. And this lady was probably as optimistic, you know, released after having her eye injured. And I was just amazed.
Injured is an understatement. She lost it.
Yeah, right. And like you said, in the end, they'll probably take out the eye and put a glass eye in there when she's all said and done. Hopefully, you know, like I said, cosmetically, she's in great shape because she's such a nice-looking lady and so pleasant.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would run into her all the time on a Saturday morning or a Wednesday afternoon or whatever, and she was so pleasant. And I had seen her for a while. I had probably seen her for about a month or two. And, you know, like I said, most people don't go through life, kind of like what you said earlier, without turning around, blaming somebody, finding a reason of, you know, why them. And, you know, she just seems to be one of those ladies that just says, hey, you know what, I'll get better and, you know,
yeah,
I'll be fine.
Yeah, I'd like to think I'd be that way. I would hope.
Yeah, and I'd like to think I could. I don't know if you have really a choice. I guess you could sit there and wallow in it.
Oh, you do have a choice. You can become a drunk and stay home and never go out. That I think that'd be me. I'd be mad at everybody. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going back to work. That's a natural reaction. I got to run. Jim, thank you for the call.
Thanks. Have a great day.
Yeah, one more real quick one, Peon. Just sneak one.
So.
A quick one here from Troy. Troy, it's all yours. How are you?
Hi, Frank.
Hi.
AM and a PM.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. This brought up things because it happened to me one time.
Okay, you got 2 minutes.
I had an 8-pound steel ball go through the front of my car.
Whoa!
thank God I didn't, nobody got hurt in the car. I was with me and my sister. We was coming back. We was living in St. Louis. We had just visited back to Illinois. We was on 270 West, bound around Elizabeth Hanley. And all of a sudden I felt like I hit a wall. And I went to go apply my brakes to get off the side of the road, and I didn't have no brakes. By the time I was able to pull over, now you got to think 170, 270 interchange was totally different back in, this is 1988.
Okay.
Was totally different back then. By the time I was able to pull over, it was Lindbergh and 270. I pulled over, got off the road, got totally off the road. I was on Lindbergh, went to the front of the car, and everything was fine on the front of the car, but a big hole in my headlight assembly. I raised my hood, looked in there, and I had a steel ball. And I worked in the warehouse, so naturally we had things to weigh, you know, boxes and stuff, cartons. And I, sure enough, I took it to work, and it weighed 8 pounds.
And didn't come through the windshield into the passenger compartment, though. It went through the headlight.
No, if it had been at least 2 or 3 inches taller, it could have skidded off the hood and hit me right in the chest because it hit the driver's side headlight.
And real quickly, because we're out of time, where do you think it came from? I don't see many 8-pound steel balls anywhere. What was it?
Exactly. It was like a shot put, like they'd use in schools.
Yeah.
Or a cannonball.
But you
and
don't
I don't know where it came from, how it flipped up. Wow. I was on the concrete median, and then you got to think, if I'm doing 60 to 65 on the concrete median, somebody else is going the other way and say they threw it out, it hit me at about 120, 130 mile an hour.
Well, maybe somebody on an overpass threw it.
Completely out of time. Troy, thank you for the story. I appreciate it.
Yeah, okay. No problem.
Yeah, when we come back, remind me, after I got another guest after the news, but right after that, I'll tell you a story of something that happened to me. But it was something somebody threw at my, and I saw them throw it at my car. And it, man, it scared the crap out of me. Window World. You gotta pay attention when you're driving. Stop texting, especially you young girls. That's what I seem to see more than anything else, is girls in a car texting. Stop it. You're somebody's daughter, and their lives will be destroyed if you get killed. Window World, simply the best for less. That's their slogan, simply the best for less. $189, the original $189 window, guys. Do your homework, folks. Go online, do some checking. Look at reviews. Look at what people say. Look at people like the BBB and the J.D. Power and Associates and what they say and how they rank Window World windows. And then you're going to realize why this is the number one selling replacement window in the country. There's a 2013 tax credit of 10% of your purchase up to $500. Be sure to take advantage of that. And right now, no interest financing until January of 2015 with approved credit. WindowWorldSt.Louis.com or 314-993-1800. Window World, 4 o'clock.